This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Every year at this time, Apple has a big conference called the Worldwide Developers Conference. This used to make headlines whenever Steve Jobs would get up there on the stage and introduce products like the iPad, the iPod, the iPhone, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Changes to the MacBook Pro, Mac Air, whatever it was, it made headlines and made Apple's stock go up and up and up and up. Well, as you know, in the last year or so, the company has slipped a little bit, made mistakes like they did with Apple Maps. Their stock price has come tumbling back down. Still not a horrible stock to own, but not as great as it was, oh, just a few months ago. Well, this week they had their 2013 edition of the Worldwide Developers Conference, and one of the people who followed what happened there with Tim Cook, the CEO, on stage is my next guest, Winston Ross, who's a national correspondent for Newsweek and The Daily Beast. Winston, welcome to America Weekend.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
All right. Tell me about something that you heard about at this conference that made you go, wow, Apple is back.
Well, first of all, I don't know that I really felt like Apple needed to come back. I mean, I know that their stock price has slipped a little bit, but they're still, you know, the leader in terms of, you know, smartphones and tablets and computers, as far as I'm concerned. They make the best product out there. But I did have several kind of wow moments, which surprised me, given that I knew there weren't going to be any, you know, major new products release, like no smartwatch, no, you know, amazing new phone or anything. My expectations were pretty low, but their revamp of the iOS, the operating system that runs on your iPhone, is pretty significant. You will first, when you download this update later in the fall when it comes out, notice that it looks completely different. It's the apps that you see are no longer skeuomorphic, which is the sort of word for their kind of weird 3D shape. They're now going to be flat, and then but there's this kind of holographic effect to the display and the background, so that as you move it, you can see a lot of texture, and it kind of looks more, it'll look more 3D, and, you know, you'll love it or hate it, but it looks very different. It's very dramatic. And it's probably the most dramatic change to design since the phone was first released.
Okay.
The thing that I think will change the usability of the phone more than anything are two things. One is the control center, which is something that that when you swipe up from the bottom of the screen, you'll now get a ready list of very quick commands that you can execute right there, even from your lock screen, I believe. So you'll be able to adjust the brightness of your phone, or change your Wi-Fi settings, or even turn on a flashlight. And this saves you from having to, you know, punch in your password and go to that specific, you know, setting in your phone or whatever. And I see that as a big time saver, and it's going to make the phone a lot more convenient to use.
Are they making any changes to Siri, which seemed like such a great thing the first time I played with it? But I'll be honest with you, ever since Google came out with their app that has their voice recognition software in it, I've been using that for a lot more things than I use Siri.
Google's voice recognition is undeniably better than Siri's. What Siri can do that Google can't do, though, is actually control your phone. You know, Siri can set appointments, can set alarms on your phone. And so if they could make Siri work better, it's a much better app to use. And they do say that that Siri is basically going to be smarter in the new version of iOS, iOS 7. They've spent a lot of time basically, I mean, the way Siri works is they try to think of all the questions you might ask it and then program the answers, and it just takes a lot of time to you know, they hired a bunch of people in the last year to think of more questions and program more answers. But another key difference is that Siri will have a different voice that they've decided is more, you know, pleasing to the ear, and there'll be an option for a male voice, and also theory, we'll be able to communicate to perform functions with certain apps like Twitter, which she can't do now.
Will she be able to read me my tweets while I'm driving?
I'm not sure if she can read you your tweets, but she might be able to. I think she'll be able to compose them for you.
Oh, okay. What about, I know one of the things that they announced, which people in my industry are not particularly thrilled about, is that iTunes is getting into the radio business. Not that they're buying a terrestrial radio station like our affiliates, but that they're going to go up against Pandora and Spotify and some of these other internet music services. What do you know about that, and how much of an impact is that going to make in that field?
It's hard to say what kind of an impact it'll make in the field. iTunes Radio seems like just a complete copy of Pandora. The question for me is whether their kind of algorithm and ability to sort of guess what song to play next, whether that will work as well as Pandora, which has always been Pandora's selling point. The selling point for iTunes Radio, though, is that if you're an iTunes Match subscriber, meaning, you know, you've decided you want to have your whole music library available in the iTunes cloud and on any of your devices, no matter kind of where you are, as long as you're connected to Wi-Fi, if you're an iTunes Match subscriber, then iTunes Radio will be free without ads. And that's a pretty big selling point. If it works as well as Pandora, I'm a Pandora One subscriber, but I'm also an iTunes Match subscriber, so I could just drop my Pandora subscription and go with iTunes Radio.
Gotcha. I have a question for you about Match, because my daughter has an iPhone 4S. It only has 16 gig, and she has a lot more music than her phone can possibly hold, and so she has to go into her MacBook and go into iTunes and uncheck all these songs so they don't load onto the phone, and she's always worried about space on there, and she's, you know, she can't download new updates and all that sort of stuff because the phone is so full of music. Is she the kind of person who's a candidate for, you know what, buy iTunes Match, put all your music in the cloud, and you don't have to keep it on your phone anymore?
Yeah, she absolutely should. The only drawback is that it requires some kind of connectivity to be able to access your library. First of all, it costs $20 a year, which is a pretty good bargain for having your iTunes available wherever you are.
Yep.
But it requires some kind of connectivity, so you either need to be connected to your home Wi-Fi or you're going to be using your data to play those songs. And so that's the imperfection about it. You know, what I do on my own phone, which is also a 16 gig, and I have the same problem. I have a bunch of apps that take up space, and I can't store my whole music collection. But what I do is I keep one playlist of 150 songs or so that are downloaded and kind of ready to go at all times that are actually physically on my phone. And then I use iTunes Match for other things. But she sounds like a great candidate, yeah.
Okay, now let's go back to new developments this week. Is Apple making their batteries better, or are their suppliers making their batteries better so that they can last longer?
I don't get the sense that the battery itself is better. What's different about a couple of the other things that were announced is that they're going to have a new version of the MacBook Air come out sometime soon, or actually it's already out. It's on sale now. That promises an up to 12-hour battery life, which was formerly 7. I don't believe that they accomplished. With the MacBook Air, they may have actually improved the battery itself, but they also are promising that with the new OS for Mac computers, that the software improvements that they're adding to all of these all of their computers will extend your battery life. And the way they do that, for example, is there's a thing called AppNap, where, you know, when you run an app on your computer, it uses a certain amount of power and drains your battery life just by running that app. And some apps take more power and more battery life. And if you have 5 apps open at the same time, they're all draining your battery life. Mm. But what they're doing with AppNap is whatever window you have open, and in front of you, that's the only app that's actually draining your battery, and the other ones kind of go to sleep.
That's a good, important one. All right, if you want to read more about what Apple's doing, you can read Winston's piece on this, about 20 life-altering developments just announced by Apple. It's on thedailybeast.com. Thanks so much for joining me here today. Winston Ross, I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend. America.